Three Clinton Foundation whistleblowers with explosive allegations will testify this week. Three? Is the FBI going to have time to raid all their homes preemptively? That's going to take a lot of manpower. But what does it take, 16 apiece to raid the home of a whistleblower? And that's what they did when they did the last guy. But by the way, speaking of jackbooted thugs, but then again, I said FBI. Did I repeat myself? What, is that going too far? I don't think it's going too far anymore. Not after this. Did you see what happened? Okay, let me explain something to you for a second. We have laws that protect whistleblowers in this country, and the whole idea is that people ought to be able to come forward without fear of financial ruin or persecution when they see law breaking. And there's a lot of law breaking going on inside the FBI right now. And so there's a couple of them, actually. It's a whistleblower, one in particular, who has evidence not just that Hillary broke the law, which, come on, I mean, so much evidence of that. You just got to hit, just go online. You'll find where it's about anywhere on the internet. But, I mean, evidence that the FBI knew she broke the law and actively ignored and covered it up. Okay, so this is explosive stuff. Guy's name is Nate Kane. So in the United States of America, there is a protocol. I mean, you can't just go leak some stuff to the media, okay? Especially not if it's classified or from FBI internal files, that kind of thing. So you have to take it to the DOJ, Office of the Inspector General. You have to do all this stuff. You have to give it to these two committees, the House and Senate, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the guy did that. He followed the protocol to a T so he would have the federal whistleblower protection. Well, as we know, laws do not apply unless you are the right people. So this whistleblower tells the world he's got evidence of Hillary's crimes and the FBI's knowledge of them and refusal to investigate them. In other words, obstruction of justice, exactly what they're accusing Trump of. And it's his home that gets raided, not theirs. Here's a tweet by Nate Kane, the whistleblower. So I blow the whistle on the FBI, get raided by the same FBI. And now they want to keep the FBI's reasons secret? Do we now live in a secret police state? Feels a little like 1984. It does. So now the DOJ, naturally, it kind of looks like that raid was illegal. DOJ and FBI, could you explain the justification for the raid? No, we don't have to. It's classified. Oh, okay. Now listen, the FBI and the DOJ have a very long history now over the last 2 years of just classifying stuff that implicates them in breaking the law, or it's just embarrassing. Okay, so I'm sure that's why it's classified. And my guess, why they did the raid? They wanted to see what evidence Nate Kane, the whistleblower, had on them and Hillary. So they and Hillary know who to silence, what evidence to destroy, and which people's lives, finances, and reputations to ruin. With, of course, fake show trial prosecutions, because that's what they do now. This is their modus operandi, is it not? So I think that, he greeted them at the door and said, listen, no, you don't have to kick my door in. No. Here's everything I gave to Congress. Here's all the evidence against the FBI that did I have and against Hillary. You can go get to have it. It wasn't good enough. They turned his house upside down. If I were him, I would join Edward Snowden in a safer country like Russia, honestly, where he'll be beyond the reach of Washington's police state, because that's what we have now. DOJ wants to keep the justification for raiding a guy who has federal legal whistleblower protection secret. Whoa. We have secret warrants with secret raids now? Is that what we have? Folks, this is why we fought the revolution. You know that, right? Well, no, I was taught that it was the Boston Tea Party. They were mad about the tea price. No. That's not what they were mad about. Yeah, they didn't like the taxes on the tea. But what really galled them was that the British used the excuse of the taxes on the tea to kick in their doors, rifle through their stuff, take whatever they wanted. And what they were looking for was duty-free goods. This is what caused the revolution. Duty-free goods. So you had bought some tea, snuck in here from somewhere else, India or somewhere, with no British tax on it. You were trying to evade the tax. This was a serious offense to the Brits. They would hang you for that. And there was no such thing as a warrant. They had to have a warrant back in Britain for British citizens, but you were to pay the taxes just like the British citizens, but they didn't need a warrant to come into your house. And so if they're looking at your house, wow, they like your curtains, they think you might have some stuff, the British would just kick your door and take all your stuff. say it was evidence, you'd never get it back. And if they really didn't like you, they'd kick your door in and claim they found duty-free goods. No tax. Oh, you didn't pay the tax here. That's not mine. I didn't buy that. Doesn't matter. You're hanging from a tree in a front yard. They did. You should read about the atrocities pre-revolution. And so as soon as we had kicked their very deserving rear ends, one of the things we were most obsessed with, and that is why it is number four in the Bill of Rights, warrantless searches. Secret raids. Raids without a known justification. We fought a revolution over this crap. And this is what they're doing. So, you know what just happened? Okay, if you have, and you know how many times have we said, where are the whistleblowers? Is there an honest damn person left in the FBI? Maybe. They just saw this. Do you think they're going to come forward? At a minimum, Nate Kane is looking at being bankrupted just for the legal defense cost. And apparently whistleblower laws under the dual justice system no longer apply. So, I mean, they're just going to kick your door in. You know what Nate Kane said, by the way, the whistleblower? Again, the guy who has evidence of Hillary's crimes and evidence the FBI knew of them and deliberately decided not to investigate, which would be obstruction of justice. Collusion to commit obstruction of justice. You know, the very things they're going after Trump for. Do you know what he said? He said when the 16 FBI agents showed up at his home, he said, listen, no, you can't raid me. I got whistleblower protection. Federal law. And he quoted the statutes at them. They had no idea he was a whistleblower. They hadn't been told, he said. They didn't know. Yeah. They didn't know. This is an outrage. Our founding fathers would have understood it completely. And now for the DOJ to say, nah, we're going to keep it secret. Yeah, we want to keep it secret for like years. We're just not going to tell anybody. Well, yeah, whistleblower protection, yeah, but we got justification. Seriously. Secret justification to raid a whistleblower with federal protections and violate his rights. Seriously? This is going to be like all the redactions they made and then we find out what's behind them and there was nothing classified, just lies and crimes by the FBI. The redactions of the text, stuff like that. It's going to be like that, probably. It's outrageous. It's got to stop. It would stop if somebody in the Republican leadership would just stand beside Trump and fight them. He is vulnerable because he's alone. Terribly, terribly isolated and alone. I feel for the man. I really do. This is a guy who's not even taking a salary, for God's sake. He's doing this for free. Who is the judge that signed the search warrants on the whistleblower? We need to start impeaching these rogue judges. There's a liberal judge. A female. Just signed it. So the Daily Caller asks, hey, you know, look, we broke the story. You going to tell us why you raided the house? No. Okay. Texter writes, Lee's on vacation. Didn't he just come back from vacation? So says Mrs. Veronica. Good morning, Veronica. Thank you for sticking with me since the beginning of the show today. She texted me at the beginning of the show. That's how I know. Yes. See, Lee has been here since, like, I don't know, 1973 at Intercom. Maybe 63. I'm not sure. So when you do that, you build up a lot of vacation time. And I think he has, like, I don't know, half the year off or something. So he's doing it. So he is knocking his wife's items off his honey-do list, as he always does on these staycations that he takes. So we will miss him very much. And by about this time next week, I will be emailing him, begging him to come back, as I always do. I love Lee. So he's such a good person, too, in person. It's not just on the air. He is a genuinely good soul. It's a real privilege to work with him. Texter writes, what is the name of the health insurance company that advertises on Tara's show? It's Lara Insurance. L-A-R-A Insurance. Texter writes, where did this go, by the way? Hold on. Somebody was throwing shade at me, and it was somebody who loves the show, too. Where'd it go? Darn it. Oh, darn. Where did it go? All right. You know what? I will read it when I come back. Oh, here we go. I love the show, Homegirl, but you need to ease up on the coffee. Never. Trump isn't Superman. He isn't starting revolution. Wait. We're looking at two leaders in the EU being deposed today for their pro-globalist policies. France is burning. 50,000 people are in the street in Italy. You don't think it's a revolution? It's a thought revolution for sure. On the verge of turning into a real one in France. It's not the coffee. Now go read the news. If that's not a revolution, at least in thought in Europe, that never would have happened without Trump, I don't know what it is. But thanks for listening. You want to hear Obama's legacy? This is Obama's legacy. Mackenzie Adams. And you know what? Obama's legacy could have been so much more. It didn't have to be hate. It didn't have to be division. It didn't have to be lies because they couldn't find true stories of racism. But this is Obama's legacy. This story. Mackenzie Adams, 9 years old, loved to play with dolls, ride a bike, and make funny videos with her cousins, according to Tuscaloosa News. She was an outgoing Alabama fourth grader. She loved math and wanted to be a scientist. But she was horribly bullied by her classmates. And unfortunately, her grandmother found her. She was nine. Nine. She hung herself. Why was she bullied? Well, Mackenzie is black. And her family had been struggling. And there was another family they were good friends with. And one of the moms decided, you know, hey, listen, let me help. Let me drive Mackenzie to school every day. Just make, you know, make the work schedule work for you guys. I'm happy to do it. Two families were tight. One problem. The other family was white. And so when the kids in Mackenzie's largely black school saw Mackenzie driven to school by friends, including the white woman, the white family members in the car, she was horribly bullied. Some of the student bullies, this is her mom, would say to her, why are you riding with white people? You're black, you're ugly, you should just die. By the way, she was beautiful. Beautiful. You could see just what a beautiful girl. She was not ugly, not at all, not by a long shot. It's an emotional roller coaster, said her aunt, Atlanta TV host Edwina Harris. Good God. It wasn't like this in the 90s. It was not like this. We didn't hate each other before Obama and all the fake crap. Listen, if I were black and I were was subjected to the lies of the mainstream media for the past 10 years, I probably hate white people too. I mean, you want to know what the most damaging thing that they did? Just utterly, horrifically damaging was Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Do you remember where that came from? I still get texts from black people. God bless them. I feel for them. They've been used and lied to. They're victims. They are victims. They do, truly in that way, they are victims. Stand Up, Don't Shoot. Do you remember it? Because it came out of Ferguson. Do you remember the guy told them, the accomplice told the media, yeah, he was standing there and he had his hands up saying don't shoot and he was shot in the back. Do you know how many people still believe that? Well, the Obama Justice Department, headed by Eric Holder, a black man, did a report. I'm going to repeat it again, damn it. Totally exonerating the officer. Why? Because that accomplice, you know, the one who made up the hands up, don't shoot lie. Turns out, aside from being a thug and a criminal himself, he and the victim had tried to break into the officer's car. They found their DNA in the car. They found the DNA of the thug who was shot. I can't remember his name. Christopher, what is his last name? Yeah, it'll come to me. They found the DNA of the thug who was shot in the car and on the officer's gun. He had gotten the officer's gun while in his car and fired it. This officer was in a fight for his life. Darren Wilson is the officer in Ferguson. How do I know that? Report from the Justice Department. Department of Justice of the United States of America, headed by black man Eric Holder. See, there's a problem, though. Hands up, don't shoot is the truth in America. Because when the lie was finally debunked by the Obama administration itself, got hardly any coverage. Do you know what they found? Self-defense for white officer Darren Wilson. Do you know he is still living in hiding because he's afraid he will be killed? Self-defense. Self-defense. Not me, not my opinion, Obama administration. This is where this hate comes from. It is a lie. They had to make up fake hate because they couldn't find any real racism, and this girl just paid with her life for it. She's quote, she told me that one particular child was writing her nasty notes in class. This is the 9-year-old sweet little black girl who hung herself. She was so terrorized when the other black children in her school found out that she was friends with a white family. This is Obama's legacy, folks. This is his legacy. It was not this bad in America before. Because we liked each other. We were distrustful, black people. I get that. I mean, given the history. But we were moving on until he ripped this country apart to try to get higher black turnout. She told me this one particular child was writing her nasty notes in class. It was just things that you wouldn't think a 9-year-old should know, the tearful mother recounted to the station. And my baby, to tell me some of the things they said to her, I was like, where are they learning this from? Including, you should kill yourself. She's dropped off by a white family that was trying to help her family at school. The kids saw it. Like, this is Obama's legacy, folks. And I get to hate if I listen to nothing but CNN. And I was black and I listened to nothing but CNN. I'm not going to blame black people for this. They're victims. If I listened to nothing but CNN and MSNBC, I would think that there was a terrible race problem in America. They made it up. They were trying to get, you remember where they did this? They were trying to get Hillary elected. These black people didn't want to vote for her. They weren't going to vote for the Republican. They were going to stay home. They had to fix that. They just made it all up. I mean, you remember the case in Charlotte where they tore Charlotte down? Black police chief, Kirk Putney, great guy. Used to know him when I reported there. Total class act. And he came out and he tried to tell him, listen, yeah, we shot this black man, but please listen. He had a gun. They wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. And they listened to the people who were on the scene and not the police, and they tore the country apart again, trying to get Hillary votes because Charlotte is a swing area in North Carolina. This little girl just paid for it with her life. This is Obama's legacy. This is Obama's legacy. He should be made to own this. And not just the little girl doing this. God bless her, she's nine. But, I mean, just the hatred. That level of hatred that if you are seen with a white family, you are bullied to the point that you hang yourself? You should just die? Folks, that's how bad it is out there. And again, given the rhetoric they have slung for the last, years? I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, they're told daily that they are governed by a racist in Trump. Trump, do you remember Trump ever being accused of being a racist before he ran for office? Nope, not once. Great friends with Tyson, friends with Sharpton, even was friends with Jesse Jackson. No problems. Runs for office as a Republican. Racist! And it's all a lie. What a shame. What? Look at what Obama squandered. President Trump nailed it. After that meeting that he had with where he ambushed Nancy and Chuck, spoke to the press, he said, listen, most of the Democrats, it's hard to believe, want open borders. Yes, that's what he needed to do. And the president nailed it. Democrats have no intention of securing the border, but they don't want their followers to know that. Again, a majority of Democrats are against open borders. That's Democrat voters. They don't want open borders. And so the Democrats are walking this very difficult line of trying to fool their voters into thinking they're for border security. They're just battling ICE, you see, because ICE is, they're fascist and very mean to the little children. But we want open, but no, they don't. They want ICE gone, so the border will not be open. By the way, did you hear what Representative Ralph Norman told me yesterday when he was on the show? I didn't realize this. He was talking about the Democrats, why they want open borders, and you know why they are so determined to get as many people in here as fast as possible. And he said because the reason that they're doing this is because they need the electoral votes for the presidential election. They want the electoral votes. The 2020 census is coming up. And so this, he said, you know, listen, because they got to pack them in ahead of the census so that the electoral votes will be they're allocated by bodies that were never supposed to be illegal immigrants in the country. And see that, he said, that's why they don't want to do anything. It went to that and then votes long term after amnesty. So it's a big mess. But I want you to hear Transparency Nancy trying desperately to get out of talking about the wall and border security. Trump destroys her and Schumer. And they can't leave. They can't say, oh, we're going to leave. We don't want to talk about this because that would have been a lose. So they had to sit there for 16 minutes. As Trump said stuff like this.
Look, we have to have the world. This isn't a question. This is a national emergency. Drugs are pouring into our country. People with tremendous medical difficulty and medical problems are pouring in, and in many cases, it's contagious. They're pouring into our country. We have to have border security. We have to have a wall as part of border security. And I don't think we really disagree so much. I also know that, you know, Nancy's in a situation where it's not easy for her to talk.
Yeah. Because she can't defend herself.
We need border security. Nancy, we need border security. It's very simple.
Of course we do.
We need border security. People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. 10. These are very serious people. Our border agents, all of our law enforcement has been incredible what they've done. But we caught 10 terrorists. These are people that were looking to do harm. We need the wall. We need, more important than anything, we need border security, of which the wall is just a piece.
Listen, they're never questioned. They are never subjected to actual real questions like, on average, every day in America, this is according to Department of Homeland Security head Kirstjen Nielsen, 5 terrorists attempt to enter the country over our southern, our northern, or seaport borders. How can we stop that if we're not going to have ICE, Nancy? How can we stop that if the border wall is immoral, Nancy? And what will you do to stop it? They are never asked that. And Trump did it yesterday. And you saw they don't even have answers. You know, if you're a politician in your mind, you have answers to questions prepared. I know. I have run campaigns. I've said, okay, if they ask you this, you got to say this. If you ask you this, put it this way, not this way. If you're a conservative or a normal person, part of us normals, you walk around, you've got to have an answer for everything. They don't even have an answer. They never have had to come up with one. The media does the work for them. So here's Nancy in a total panic. I put a montage together of this. Just her and Chuck desperately trying to get back behind closed doors and away from the cameras as Trump threw the, just over and over and over again. And then accuse them, look, you don't want transparency, you don't want to talk about this in public. They don't.
And we're here to have a conversation in a prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this. Let's call a halt to this. We've come in here as the first branch of government, Article 1, the legislative branch. We're coming in good faith to negotiate with you about how we can keep the government open.
We're going to keep it open if we have border security. If we don't have border security, Chuck, we're not going to keep it open.
I'm with you.
Chuck, we can build a much bigger section.
Let's debate. Let's debate in private.
Okay?
Yeah. Let's debate in private.
This is the most unfortunate thing. We came in here in good faith. And we are entering into a discussion in the public view.
But it's not bad,
it's
transparency.
I know it's not transparency when we're not stipulating to a set of facts, and when we want to have a debate with you about saying we confront some of those facts without saying
what?
To the
we
public,
need border security.
This
That's
isn't
what
true.
We're going to be talking about. Border security. If we don't have border security, we'll shut down the government. This country needs border security.
We
the wall is
that.
A part of border security.
They've never had to answer these questions. Media doesn't ask them real questions. They get a pass on that. Can you imagine what a different country this would be if the media asked them real questions? Or if members of the media, like, you know, from Breitbart or Daily Caller, were actually allowed to ask real questions? Anyway. New York Times. This is to the level of derangement, folks. New York Times. Companies should cancel holiday office parties. They can't say Christmas, because, see, that would offend somebody. Holiday office parties. They mean Christmas parties. So women can avoid sexual assault. Wait, what? Is there an epidemic of women being raped at holiday parties? No. They're just presuming there is. This is how cuckoo loco nutso they've gone. And listen, you know, folks earlier said, why are you giving them time of day? Because I want the men in this audience to understand how merely for having male anatomy, walking around and breathing, nothing about the content of your character, you are despised, hated. Your downfall is plotted by these women. Listen, this is supposed to be a serious journalistic commentary on how women should prepare for the office party so as not to be raped. Okay. The person you hear speaking is New York Times writer Jennifer Weiner, whose contention it is, along with the New York Times, that the holiday party should be canceled because they're just misogynistic, paternalistic opportunities for men to prey on women. This is the only reason corporations hold these parties. There's no other reason. And she's on CBS with Laura O'Donnell and all of the other whack job feminists. Just listen to this audio.
2018.
Yes, here we are.
Still having this frigging conversation.
Still having this frigging conversation.
They're talking about the outrage of having to attend the holiday Christmas party at your office.
Said it seems every year somebody gets into trouble at the holiday party.
Every time.
So you think it's still.
Right. So, and this is Jennifer. This is Jennifer Weiner at the New York Times. And she's talking about how women have to strategize in how they dress so they won't be raped at the holiday party, which is, of course, the reason they hold these holiday parties, so men can rape women.
Wouldn't you rather have an extra $100 in your paycheck
yes.
than have to go, like, put on the Spanx,
Most
put on the heels,
would, yes.
be social with, the guy with, like, the stale coffee breath who's been, like, kind of looking at your backside every time you go to the copier?
Uh-huh.
You know how that is.
Well,
okay. I Googled Jennifer Weiner. There's not a person in the entire New York Times newsroom who could miss her rear end when she goes to the copier. It's that big. And let me show you, if they happen to catch it, because they couldn't avoid looking at it, it's so big. They would look away quickly. Trust me. It's bad. I mean, just, never mind. Google image. Never mind. Actually, you'll never get it out of your head. Don't do it. Okay, so here's CBS. And so they're talking about this problem. It's a problem of the presumed sexual assault that you will undergo at the misogynist Christmas party. Ergo, why companies must cancel them.
Does that mean, like, what I wore to work today plus a necklace? Like, an acute
Oh, yeah. They're trying to figure out how to dress so they will not be raped at the office party.
And then I have to bring that, and what if it's not right?
Jen, this is such a throwback, though. The suggestion yeah. that what I wear mm-hmm. is that I'm asking for it.
I know.
That's what's been... Mm-hmm. That has...
Well, who said that? This is just so wrong. The suggestion that what I wear to the office party means I'm asking for... Who said it? Who said it? I don't support that. Tell me who said it. Give me a name. Who is saying this? Nobody's saying this.
Ben, as you know, that, well, she dressed that way, therefore she deserved
it
to be treated that way. Aren't we past that? And why aren't we focused more on behavior rather than on what people are wearing? Why don't we just have conversation of norms of behavior? Yes.
That would be people. Right. That would be yes. lovely. That would be fantastic. Unfortunately, as anyone who's been, like, living and breathing and paying attention knows, we're not there yet. And certainly...
Right, we're not there yet. So you cannot go to the office party without getting raped. So you have to plan for that. Up next, advice for getting out of the office party without being raped. From the New York Times and CBS. Text line, Tara, I am 65, a woman, worked since 16 years old. I don't think Spanx is going to help that woman. Me neither. I don't think so. New York Times demanding that corporations cancel the holiday office party and the atrocity by some companies of making it mandatory so that women will not be raped. Wait, raped by who, you ask? Men? All men. You know that's why they hold those things. Yeah, it's terrible. That's why they hold those things, that men can get women drunk and rape them. Now, I know I sound crazy saying that. This is what the New York Times wrote. And they said, you've got to hear this conversation from CBS. This is the level of the sheer derangement. And I play this for you, not just for your amusement and entertainment and how absolutely bizarrely twisted their world is as leftist women, but because I want you men to understand what you're up against and how much they hate you and that there are women who watch this stuff and think it's real. Take a listen. So this is New York Times, appropriately named Jennifer Weiner and Laura O'Donnell and all the other women agreeing that it is so wrong of these companies to force women to go to these parties where they're going to be raped because men are there and you know what men want. They just want the chance to rape you and they're sitting around waiting. Listen, you think I'm exaggerating? Listen to this. How they said, this is how you, if you got to go to the Christmas party, how you prevent yourself from being raped.
Do not drink, have a friend, have a plan. Like if that guy who checks out your butt when you go to the copier corners you, mm-hmm. have a friend who is going to be like looking out for you and saying like, hey, Sarah, come on over here, mm-hmm. with me,
yeah.
not with him.
Avoid the creepy guy.
What else can you do?
Yeah. What else can you do at an office party? I joke that, like, unfortunately, if I was telling somebody what to wear, I'd say a body camera. at this point. Oh, so you, I know, right? A body camera and the Christine Blasey Ford memorial one-piece bathing suit under the clothes, which is terrible, but here we are.
Yeah, they're not kidding. They're not kidding. They're serious. And granted, I had to wonder, I mean, if you look at all the people who've gone down in the Me Too movement, I mean, many of them were liberal men working at these media organizations. So maybe, I mean, it is possible, okay, that this is how liberal men behave. And I think this is how all men behave because they're just around liberal men. I don't know. Texter writes, bring back chastity belts. That should solve the problem. And the texter writes, Tara, would this woman want to call off the office party if a lesbian coworker Googled her big backside? I think they mean Googled. I don't know. You'll have to ask her. Texter writes, they could wear a hijab, burqa, niqab. Is that how you say that, niqab? I don't know. That they want so badly to see adopted here. I don't think anybody would bother them then. Maybe they could have a male relative escort them as is required in the society they want to adopt to replace our republic. That's it. That could work. Texter writes, do the women worrying about going to these parties not remember that they are around the same men 40 plus hours a week? Or are they neurotic getting dressed every day? So, no, at the beginning of that interview, I'm not going to play the whole thing for you. They talk about how you have to dress for the holiday party to avoid being sexually assaulted. Because, you know, there'll be men there, and that's all they do, these men. And that's why all holiday parties should be called off. We can no longer come together in a party atmosphere because of these terrible raping hordes of men. Texter writes, Tara, nobody's looking at Mrs. Wiener at the water cooler. They are trying to figure out how to get around her. She's a big woman. No, look, but I know it. I looked her up, okay, because I'm interested in women like this. Like, where does the hate come from? Because I have nothing but wonderful, loving men in my life who have always supported me at every turn. This is such a bizarre mindset to me. Someone read about her. She hated her father. Her father apparently was some kind of jerk. And so she's written all this stuff about having to get over how much she hated her father. And when he died, she didn't care. And then she got divorced by the guy who married her. Understandably, after that interview. And she got divorced by him. And so she's bitter at him, too. She eventually got over it, though, and wrote about that. She hates men. They hate men. It's personal. It doesn't have anything to do with you. And that's why they make this crap up. And unfortunately, they're the ones that get put in front of a microphone. Texter writes, I suspect all men are creepy to them. Yeah, they got daddy problems. They got daddy issues. Texter writes, there's no alcohol at my work party. Texter writes, Tara, what does it say about the left when the same people that think men are pigs and only exist to rape are the same ones that idolize Stormy Daniels? Wow, that's fully loaded. Texter writes, and finally, not every large woman is disgusting to men. Some men like large women. See, if she would just chill and go find one of those, she wouldn't have to have so much hatred.